This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, state of the future. And you can also go to our sister website, NCS51, for more additional information. You want to be paying attention to where the town halls are, all the fundraising events and so on that are going to be going forward for New California State because, you know, hey, it's a big state after all. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. We've got a lot of stories to cover today. And, of course, Chuck E. Schumer threatening two Supreme Court justices. You'll listen to the clip a little bit later on in the show. It's clearly a threat to two justices. And he's standing on the steps of the Supreme Court when he makes the statements. We'll get into that. It's just disgusting. It's actually what you're going to hear and witness, I guess, is the complete disassembling of the Democratic Party. I think that's really what we're going to be seeing here. We're also going to be talking a lot about New California also in the third hour, so you want to really, really pay attention to what we're talking about there. We're going to be talking momentarily here to Chris Street with some breaking financial news, some news that might want to set you back a little bit, but just I want you all to feel very, very comfortable because finally, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, declares a state of emergency. Shocking, the first one he's ever done. It's pretty panicky on his part. And, of course, where are all the resources to combat this? Why the state of California? They're called not there because the state is broke as a joke. They can't even fund emergency service. Where's all that $21 billion in the, the rainy day fund? It's a rainy day at this point in time, but no money to support it. Anyway, with us right now is Chris Street, our chief financial advisor for New California, and, of course, 40-year experienced veteran of the financial world, literally worldwide markets, and he's with us to break some news. Chris, welcome back home to Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, it's always fun to be here, Paul, but the interesting part about, you know, markets and our new California movement is that it's rather predictable how the crisis is building and what the end game is going to be. Last night, the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States, moved to start unwinding some of the Dodd-Frank regulations that have really shrunk liquidity in the banking system and encouraged huge amounts of lending in the corporate bond system. And to give you a sense, since 2010, and this, of course, was Obama's pet project. Remember, we need to regulate the banks. So their idea of regulating the banks, of course, was cutting credit to corporations and expanding credit to non-corporate qualified borrowers, you know, to build subprime, you know, mortgages and things like that. You sort of can't do the subprime anymore. So they basically restructured it towards the real estate industry for all these, you know, subsidized type housing projects or special zoning permits and such. And if you take a look at the corporate bond extension of credit in 2010, I believe, let me get these numbers right, there was somewhere in the range of $3.3 trillion of U.S. corporate debt. Today, that number is $6.5 trillion. And the total debt for corporate bonds worldwide has more than tripled to $13.5 trillion. Now, guess who's the guy that tripled the most? China. So California has played this game that we are so wise, we also have such expertise that we can manage all of these complicated systems because like Obama said, you didn't build that company. You know, you didn't build that. That was the federal government, through their incredibly intelligent expertise, you know, set the situation in place for you to make a fortune. Well, you know, the problem is that the companies that are borrowing the most right now are the old industries. You know, the new industries like Microsoft and Facebook and Apple and Google, they have $328 billion sitting in the bank. So if you charge companies zero interest rates, and you know you don't require them to have facilities where they actually sell the products, they're going to generate a lot of cash. You know, especially when they don't have to pay for environmental costs. These normal costs of a regular company in a regular business, you know, the infinite wisdom of Obama and their social justice warriors gave the tech industry one deal and then burdened everybody else with the cost of it. You know, why does Tesla have a spectacular market capitalization and they're subsidized on every vehicle they sell, which they only sell to millionaires or above? This is the game we're now at. Over the last couple of weeks, I'm just pounding the table, and at our convention, I was pounding the table that the crisis is getting extreme. Somewhere out there, there's financial disaster. And in fact, we have what, you know, sounds old school because, you know, we're much smarter than the old school. We have the new school, right? We have the new school where 97% of global warming scientists, you know, truly experts, believe in global warming. So you have these self-referencing organizations, but right now you have an inverted yield curve. What that means is the short rates, you know, up from 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, all the way up to 1 year, are higher than the two-year treasury bond, which is called the reference bond, is the bond most controlled by the Federal Reserve. So this inverted yield curve has been terrible historically. It's caused crises and other issues because it says that banks are scrambling for cash. Now, we know it's not those five big banks that, you know, that Obama was so concerned about. You know, the five big banks that didn't fail.
Right, right.
It's those other banks or finance financial institutions or hedge funds who operate like banks. I mean, Goldman Sachs is now a bank. It's really a hedge fund operating as a bank. But they're not, you know, they're not subject to the very high restrictions of Dodd-Frank. You know, it's only J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and a few others.
Can you kind of quickly explain Dodd-Frank? Because a lot of people are new to this and hearing these terms for the first time. We kind of grew up with it in the last 10 years. What happened with Dodd-Frank, so-called Dodd-Frank?
Well, there was a guy named Bernie Frank who was ran the financial committee for the U.S. Congress. And Bernie and I go way, way back in that I testified to try to stop the federal government from guaranteeing all municipal debt in the United States after Orange County filed for bankruptcy. Now, Bernie just couldn't understand why anybody would be against guaranteeing government debt. After all, it can never fail, right? Wrong. Orange County failed. Anyway, so Dodd-Frank was a restructure of the financial institutions, you know, that essentially said that significant banks, market significant banks, would have to hold a lot more reserves than regular banks. Now, normally people think large has more safety and diversification, but in the infinite wisdom of Barney Frank, large meant that you had to have much larger reserves. So you built a system where essentially the very, very big banks were at a high disadvantage to the other financial institutions, led to the spectacular rise of hedge funds. You know, these are private debt that nobody regulates, and, you know, constrained the big banks, you know, and sued them all the time, got, you know, judgments against them, you know, treated them like a whipping boy.
So well, the notion was is that this is where we're talking about too big to fail. And this was back in the day. And, of course, a lot of the listeners don't understand. You got have a big history with Barney Frank because Barney Frank, I think, was the chair of the Finance Committee in the House at the time. And you testified before him. And he was explaining his plan, which is what you're talking about here, you decried the fact that, you know, if that happens, if you go through with your plan, then what's going to happen to the credit rating of the United States is it's going to go down. And he laughed about it. He joked about it. And he was basically mocking you. But as soon as the plan came out of committee, guess what? the U.S. lost its credit rating, and Barney Frank was never reelected.
Right. How'd you like to run against a – if you'd said, ha, 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 if the – you know, if the credit rating of the U.S. – of the United States drops from AAA, I'll buy bonds. I'll make a lot of money. What he basically said, if there was a crisis, he'd buy them at a discount knowing that they'd pay.
Right.
And that would be really tough to run in any district on.
And of course, his opponent was flagging that one. He just failed to run after he recognized what was going on. He blew it, and you called him out on it. And he never showed up again. He's just sort of back in the dustbin of history. But I guess the bigger question is, what's going to happen now that they're getting rid of the Dodd-Frank restrictions? And what's going to play out in the big world? Because you were talking about there's one country in particular, China, that's really kind of behind the eight ball now with this relieving of the Dodd-Frank regulations.
Well, I think these are called these. When America sneezes, everybody else catches the cold. You know, no offense to China. When China sneezed with coronavirus, it's been nasty, but I wouldn't call it the kind of disaster it's been in China. China has 197 million people today that are locked down, allowed to only go out once a day for less than an hour to go downstairs to pick up food, which is delivered to them by people in plastic. so, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, when you take a look at the United States, you have all of these institutions you built called hedge funds and, you know, the brokers like Goldman turned into a bank. You did all that. They did spectacularly. Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, the really big banks did okay because the economy was okay. But they've had lower percentage earnings, and in fact, lower stock price because they're so heavily constrained. You know, what goes around comes around. You know, the Democrats have these incredible philosophies where they know it all. It's just so obvious to them that the answer is regulation, that you can't trust the private market. You know, the federal government and more importantly, the state government must intervene because all the experts are in the government, not in the companies. You know, and the government doesn't have to compete against anybody. So it talks to itself and pretty soon it agrees. It's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, government talking to itself and it agrees. It's kind of like watching Gavin Newsom talking to himself and he agrees.
Right. Back to New California. I said at the convention that we are approaching a big institutional cycle. And this is an 80-year cycle that has to do with the way the economy is structured, with the relationship of the government to the people, and a socioeconomic crisis every 50 years, which is the relationship of the people, the society really to, you know, the economics. And so you have these two cycles coming together, and they're going to hit between 2020 and 2025. So we are in the biggest, you know, turmoil because there's never been these two cycles hitting at the end of these two cycles hitting at the same time. So it's going to be nasty. But every time you've had one of these institutional cycles, you know, end in nastiness, or socioeconomic cycles end in nastiness, you've had things like Ronald Reagan come along, you know, and cut these stupid high tax rates of the United States, and all of a sudden you have a great big entrepreneurial boom. You know, it's the regulation, it's the control, it's the structure, it's the ossifying of the system. You know, the semiconductor chip is 50 years old last year. You know, the last time a big industry like the auto industry was 50 years old was, I believe, in 1957 mm-hmm. when the auto industry was 50 years old. It was the dream of the world. Its management was considered Sloan from General Motors and Ford management were considered the ideal management of a corporate enterprise in the world. 15 years later, the entire industry is bankrupt. So, you know, when things hit their 50-year cycle, it's really not high tech. I mean, there might be some uses that are high tech or whatever. It's a commodity. You know, think how amazing it would have been in 1800 to think you could make a cell phone call.
No, sure.
Think how amazing it would have been. You know, the only person making a cell phone call, you know, in the 50s, even all the way up to the 70s, was Dick Tracy, right?
That's right. On your watch.
It was a cartoon. Oh, that's just silly. Right. Well, you know, technology moves on. You know, just because you were smart doesn't mean that you're going to be smart about the next wave. So you have all these tech companies that are just amassing massive amounts of cash, and they're not you've built an economy where they don't invest in Americans. They don't really invest in building plant and equipment here because they don't have to. Matter of fact, they're stupid if they do because they'll pay higher taxes, right, have higher regulation, and they'll have strict environmental rules. I mean, Tesla has a factory that assembles in Fremont, and the only reason it's there is because of the massive subsidies it's received. But they're building their big factory in China.
And I want to clarify something, that the massive environmentalism is pretty much a California phenomenon in terms of keeping a lot of businesses here in California, because a lot of them are fleeing. The flight is enormous, but it also prevents a lot of businesses from coming in. Now, you mentioned Tesla. Tesla really has a lot of stuff in other states like Nevada. Most of the stuff that where they really build the car, the components and everything, is in Nevada because of the overburden of the regulations, environmental regulations in particular. So there's thousands of jobs that have left California, and they're over just across the border because the border represents some law. And it's devastating to the economy here.
Right. The 2 or 3 million people of Nevada basically, you know, have a different set of rules for a factory that services supposedly the 40 million people of California.
Right.
And California is a beauty because you pay industrial costs for electricity in Texas are 6 cents. Industrial costs here in California are 20 cents. Everywhere you go, you pay twice the price of gas. Do you really think that makes good roads? Have anybody driven a road lately? You know, they don't spend money on infrastructure. They wait for things like Oroville Dam to fail, and then they think they can charge 90% of it to the federal government. You know, the reason they do sanctuary cities is they want those. They want that money. They want those customers. They want to get those welfare payments. California gets 33% of all welfare payments, TANF, and they get 31% of all Obamacare payments. They would like, you know, I think as Bernie said, he'd like to fly the deported ones back in. So we're just at that inflection point when there is no common sense out there for the regular person, but in every increment of government, it's smart to have illegal aliens. At every increment of government, it's really smart to have triple the cost of electricity. Now, the fact that it drives wages down, you know, the lower 20% of American wage earners are different than the entire wage earning structure. All the economists say, well, you know, illegal aliens only cost 4.5% of income. And I think that's probably relatively true. But for the lower 20% of wage earners in America, that's $3.41 an hour.
Right.
So all of this expert, you know, California doesn't produce any electricity. It actually buys it from Utah. You know what they make it in Utah from? Coal.
Right.
So California is just a hypocrite, that's all.
Right. Let me ask you this about the liquidity, though. What does it look like downstream for the United States, and worldwide, United States, and then California? Because this is a big issue if you've got this unraveling of Dodd-Frank. The whole system seems to be unwinding worldwide.
It's not unwinding, Paul. No, it's not unwinding. It's reacting. They're calling this, you know, maturity of the financial system, and, you know, this is more fair, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a very nice way they talk about it, very professional. The bottom line to it is they're scared to death. I mean, there's blood in the stool, if you wish. You go to the doctor, you know, and you get blood in the stool. Whoa. You might not look bad on the outside. That doctor looks at you and says, not so good.
Right, right.
So if you could see the inside of the game, you'd be like that doctor going, not so good.
So what is the impact going to be, though? Because this could lead to a liquidity crisis worldwide, and the big player being China.
We are in the liquidity crisis, Paul. They're using the tools they have. They're inventing new stuff. You know, they're actually, my opinion of the Federal Reserve, as you know, it's bad, but there's actually a more bad thing. If you got rid of it, it'd even be badder. Is there a word badder?
It'd be worse for you. Right.
Bad, badder, baddest. If you got rid of it, it would at least be badder, if not badest. You know, by having it independent in some ways, you know, it slows down their ability to respond. For some reason, on a Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock New York time, they decided to do the most important structural banking change in 10 years. I mean, did they just like have, drinking coffee, before dinner and decided, well, you know, let's just do this. It seems like the right thing. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, hang on, Chris. We got to run. We got a break coming up here. We're talking to Chris Street, and we're getting into unraveling the mysteries of the banking system and how this plays out to California, New California, and, of course, worldwide markets. Because something big happened last night at around 7 o'clock in New York, and we're going to come back and talk about that. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Yeah! Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, .com, easy for me to say. And newcaliforniastate.com and ncs51.com. Those are the two websites for New California. We're talking with Chris Street. Some big events were taking place last night in affected liquidity markets around the world. And we're talking to Chris about what that means for California, New California, and, of course, the United States as well. Chris, this is an existential threat you might see with the rejiggering, I guess you can say, and unraveling of Dodd-Frank.
This is sort of like your military, your military leader. All of a sudden, there's the Battle of the Bulge, and the Panzer tanks are there. What are you going to do? You're going to throw everything you got at it, right? And you know, they really don't got more liquidity at the bank level because banks have been told to stay out of the business. You know, push all this away from the banking system. You know, the banks really are part of the federal government now. And so you've pushed it down to what are called corporate bonds and corporate lending. Unfortunately, that's what individuals own and pension plans own and hedge funds own and such like that. So theoretically, the banks are going to be better off because they make the very restrictive loans. And then corporate bonds make the more credit-sensitive loans, and it's a system that tears down.
Right.
The problem with that is that if that tiered down system starts to fail, if corporate bonds start to fail, that means companies are going to start to fail. And maybe the banks only lent them, you know, 40% of their cash, and the system lent them 60%, and the bank is senior and secured compared to the other debt. That other debt goes away in a heartbeat, and the banks are still going to suffer because it's going to be about cash flow. You've got a situation here that, as I said, institutional cycle, socioeconomic cycle are coming together. This is the storm before the calm. Now, it'll work itself out because it was crazy to get there. But I've been warning people that you are going to have this crash. And this crash is going to be about all the things the Democrats are about. It's going to be about the ports, import, export. China's gone. I mean, yeah, it's the coronavirus is not just the problem of the economics. Secondly, it's going to come with Silicon Valley technology. You know, technology is played out. That's not going to be a source of a winner. And thirdly, you're going to talk about real estate prices along the coast. Don't you think if all that really leveraged sort of modern economy that allows California to win and the rest of the country to lose, you know, goes away, that real estate isn't going to get hammered?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you're a more rural area, I understand that. But think about this. All of the capital gains that California gets, which I keep pounding, is 150% of its payroll and benefits. You know, that's going to get cut by 80%. Far, far below the, you know, anything that you could manage as a corporate manager. You know, real estate prices, government runs on taxes, impuesta, right? That tax rate, it's not, you're not entitled to have $1 million house that's 1,800 square feet in Santa Clara. You know, that San Francisco might have said that you could have it as a $2 million house, but in any kind of financial crisis, it's going to go back to $400,000. The places that won the biggest are going to pay the price. And California's won the biggest, and they are on the verge of paying the price.
Right. You know, again, China is the big culprit in this in terms of financial liquidity in playing this role. This is the visual that's starting to take place. This is the step that they had to take to control and combat the liquidity problem. So California, and I want to talk about the capital gains here quickly. You're talking about 115% of all taxes that come in from the capital gains. If it's starting to play out in especially Silicon Valley, which is our biggest industry, and of course we haven't diversified. In fact, we pushed away large businesses that would pay large capital gains. This is just going to destroy the California government's economy, isn't it?
Well, those big businesses weren't necessarily capital gains, Paul. They were stable employment.
Right, right. Well, the other taxes coming in.
They weren't generating the kind of tax game that, you know, building massive stack and pack housing. You know, we're talking about China, coronavirus. The reason it spread so fast, stack and pack housing. They're now, that stack and pack, how'd you like to live in stack and pack housing? You're allowed to go out 1 hour a day.
Yeah, it's in prison is what it is. It's prisoner. They're prisoners, right. is really what the Chinese people are. And of course that's what's happening here in this country as well. They're going to and of course up in Seattle and other places are going to quarantine you in your homes and that sort of thing. That's kind of like the tactic. But I want to get down to the fact that California is going to start, and it already is, as you know, it's starting to experience these shortfalls in cash. I was on the phone with a couple of people yesterday with big businesses. And they are really running up against not being paid by the state of California well over 90 days at this point in time. Big businesses, and this is a consistent thing we're hearing from everybody out here in New California land, and they're calling me. You're like I could do something about it right now. And, of course, yeah, we're trying to make New California, you know, but they're calling me like I'm the governor or something, and I'm sitting there, you know, it's like, fix it. And so, you know, and saying, well, you know, probably better want to call Gavin Newsom to see if he can fix it. And, of course, he's running from it. I got a question in the mix of all this. Where's that $21 billion rainy day fund? How come he's not using that?
Well, I had an accounting professor in college that carved on his door, accounting is art, be creative. That was not a compliment.
No.
He taught my class on all the frauds. It was the most, everybody showed up because every day he would teach an idea and a concept by introducing a fraud. You had to figure out how the fraud worked, you know, how the accounting hid the fraud and such like that. But we are in the easiest part of the year for banks and financial institutions and business. This is the low point right now of demand for short-term loans. You've gone through Christmas. You've collected on your receivables. Right. People bought that inventory. If you didn't sell it, you know, you blew it out in the first 45 days of the year through sales. You should be, you know, where banks are in very, very high liquidity. They are in high liquidity right now. They just weren't able to lend it out, or they're choosing to not lend it out. Mm-hmm. The point of the year when banks are in low liquidity is from September to November, and they're strapped at that point.
Well, let's go forward here in the new California scenario, because we know that there is no $21 billion reserve. We know that the state cannot pay its bills now. The state has not reacted to any emergency with any emergency services. They have pretty little cars with the Office of Emergency Services. They've got a huge bureaucracy, but they don't supply any kind of help or necessary materials to help in an emergency. God forbid we have a tornado like what happened in Tennessee, then the state would have to respond. But they would probably wait it out like they did with the Camp Fire. It went until FEMA showed up. I mean, days and weeks. And there was no state help at all because they didn't have the money. So this situation for New California and California right now going forward is getting more and more dire. What does that threat look like in the next 6 months?
Well, Paul, this is a guy who said that you'd have California's would essentially go bankrupt in the next 3 years. I've moved that to 2 years, but I've said it'll be between September and November when there's a liquidity crisis every year. California will just be, you know, that broke joke that falls over the hill. And it'll be shockingly quick, kind of like Orange County, double A on a Friday and in bankruptcy court on Monday.
Right.
But I may have been too optimistic for California.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You know, these things, once they get rolling, there's some financial institution out there that has failed. And all of this, you know, scrambling for cash, you know, the federal government's putting out repo. They offer repurchase agreements to loan you overnight cash. That has somehow failed because there are more tenders for the repurchase agreements than the $100 million of cash that's put up for every night. The problem with it is it's 350% oversubscribed for the mortgage part of the business. So my belief is that, you know, that somebody, some big financial institution deeply involved with leverage lending, is failing.
Mm-hmm. And that happens China. Let's just call it out.
Right. Well, the Fed doesn't want to talk about that. You know, how many financial institutions like Goldman, you know, have over 50% of their business in China?
Right.
They don't do business in the U.S. because that's the suckers. You know, you make your money in China, well, they'll work for slave labor. At some point that didn't work. We are in the storm before the calm. If you hear it gets nasty out there. You know, the coronavirus, you know, spread because, you know, it was people like California and Washington who complained that the original test wasn't reliable enough. Think about that, Paul. It wasn't reliable enough when you needed something immediately. The CDC got it out by the third week of January.
Right.
And then everybody says, oh, you've got to investigate because, you know, just too dangerous and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, so you waited another 3 weeks and it got, you know, the coronavirus got more distributed.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's government expertise that turns out to not be expert. You know, they have great knowledge
right.
and specifics. They have no common sense.
Well, that's pretty much proven. I want to get back to what's going on with the liquidity crisis in California, because clearly they've got a liquidity crisis going on. And based upon the phone calls I'm getting from people, they're getting ticked because, you know, there's agreements with the state of California that if you don't pay your bills and if you default after 3 months or there's a delay in paying anything, you're going to be subject to fines and even state takeover of your business. And, you know, some of these people, which is kind of interesting, some of these people are paid by the state to do jobs for the state, and then they in turn pay with that state money that they get, and it's part of their business, their employees. And now the state is sometimes 4 to 5 months in arrears to pay them, and they can't stay open, yet their fines are going to be doubled and tripled in some cases because the state isn't paying. That is a liquidity crisis. I'm just getting a few calls. You know, it might be 3 or 4 during the week, but, you know, this last week since our convention, when we opened up, it's like Pandora's box right here in the studio. People are calling. We got about 10 calls yesterday from businesses. You know, obviously the word is out about New California. We're not going to be doing this sort of thing. But the bottom line is, Chris, this is I think growing at a faster pace than what you're even indicating, and you know you were wrong about the length of it. It's actually happening now. I think it's just I really do think it's happening now. I think the crater is beginning.
Paul, I hear what you say. You're basically saying that people are going from having 3 meals a day to 2 meals a day, and it's really upsetting them. Think about when they're eating every third day.
Yeah,
that's a liquidity crisis. You know, it's so painful you can't imagine. But, you know, right now, are any of them going to sue? No, it's, you know, the government's too big a part of their business. They hope it'll get better. They'll complain. They'll get paid. They'll pay penalties on one side, and they'll collect, you know, interest on the other side. Because if it's slow pay, they pay you interest at the state.
Right.
So it's kind of balanced out. I mean, it just takes a while to get the money. But that's not the issue. The issue is, this is the good time, Paul. All this is going on in the good time. Think about when liquidity's tight in the bad time.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that bad time is upon a lot of these businesses. And, you know, they're facing this 3-month window with the state requirement not being paid by the state. And it's creating a huge crisis. This is almost like an extortion scheme to some of these business owners. And I had quite a talk yesterday with one of them. That he feels that this is just kind of a set up for the state to take over his business because they're not paying him. And this is, you know, if you're a communist country, that's basically what you do. You set up private industry so you can have the takeover. We're seeing that play out right now with Pacific Gas and Electric and other major providers of energy. This seems to be the grand design to get cash flow back into government again and feed the government monster. This cratering, though, I think is having a telling effect on businesses. That the only place these businesses can turn to now, and this is a lesson for me over the last 3 days, is New California. If you're in California, it's the only solution to your problem, because this bureaucratic state of California is not going to go away naturally. It is not. It has to be disassembled by breaking up the state and form a new state from the pre-existing state, just like Article 4, Section 3 says. This, we're the relief valve, is what we are. And, of course, from that relief will become a certain relief for California from its problems, I suspect. I'm not going to speak for California after we form New California, but the bottom line, well, I guess we could, because we'll be controlling the economy. Because our economy will be something completely different from this.
We will be good for the social justice wonderland. You know, we're going to produce lots of resources. We're going to produce lots of energy, tremendous amounts of water. You know, farms are going to absolutely, you know, go bonkers with the opportunity. You know, business is going to come and, you know, because if you're a farmer, you really normally can't make it. You know, as a business, you got to have something on the side. You know, it tends to be more of a lifestyle. I mean, some people are mega farmers, but generally you got to have smaller farmers. You got to have something on the side. We're going to bring that factory work. We're going to bring that new economy, which was the old economy that California spit on because it didn't work for them. They thought it was a joke. Why would I put money in dams and resources and all that in California? You know, I don't do that. I spend my money on buying votes in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Oakland. And it was for the social justice wonderland folks, it was a great idea. They don't know how to manage it, let alone deal with the crisis. You know, this is I said there was batter, right? This is, we're sort of in bad, we're going to batter, and then we're going to baddest. So this is, we're not there yet, Paul. You know, it can get ugly, but if you think this is ugly, oh boy, are you about to get surprised. Yeah. Just give it time. This, it's like that ball's rolling down the lane, and it's about to hit the pins, and you're going to get a strike.
Let me ask you this. If this liquidity crisis continues to open up, and I understand what they did. This is the time in which there's the least impact that could normally happen in the market, that the liquidity could be down. But there actually is a real problem with China. It's almost like we got that giant sucking sound coming across from the ocean. And, you know, don't dig a hole because you might find yourself in China right now real quick. My point is it as the coronavirus hits, is this going to exacerbate the need for more cash for China? The supply chain, which is already interrupted right now, is that going to become more exacerbated? In other words, will this be, there be a quickening of events here in the next 3 to 4 months that might not be seen? Because I know what you're talking about. If you go back, the cash flow is always the worst, especially in schools and everything else. And in the September, October, November, it's certainly that way with private business. But will we see events start to perhaps quicken because of this giant sucking sound of China and the liquidity issue?
Well, you know, China is the top of the iceberg. You know, it's the stuff underwater that's really, really big. You know, this is something that's been going on now for, you know, really since, you know, Bill Clinton was elected and he changed the game. You know, this is part of outsourcing. This is part of the social justice movement. I mean, the Clintons, you know, Billy could care less about policy. Hillary cared deeply. You know, she was a Marxist. She'd been with the Panthers, the Black Panthers. You know, she cared deeply about this social justice revolution. You are early on in this. I don't know how specifically it is. I just know from my experience on Wall Street that it's now inevitable.
Yep. Listen, Chris, you got to run for time. I know you got to go. Thanks for being with us, Chris. Chris Street, you're on Agenda 21 Radio. We'll be right back. Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
best night's sleep in the whole wide world is at MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio with your host, Paul Preston.
Thanks to Chris Reed, and to sum up, this is don't tell anybody we made this big play from the financials last night at 7 o'clock New York time. There's a liquidity problem amongst the world banks, and that's a big problem. And when's it going to play out? It's starting to play out, like Chris Street said, and it demonstrated by the evidence that we're getting here. And this is kind of an interesting phenomenon. I had a couple of good conversations about this yesterday, and one of them with a new Californian, but this is... You know, like I said, we would get three or four calls from businesses a week, but, you know, it's already Thursday, and I've probably had 20 calls. And, again, I think it's because we had this just outrageously successful convention for New California in San Luis Obispo, and Mike Huckabee was there, endorsed in New California, I might add. We got his endorsement moving forward, which is just spectacular. It is just absolutely spectacular. He knows we're going to become the 51st state. But my point is that people are starting to feel the burn. Could you imagine the burn if Bernie Sanders becomes president and influences California? Oh, yeah. Well, that's not going to happen, of course. I mean, but the point that I'm making is people are more anxious than ever before if you've got any kind of businesses in California and if you do business with the state of California. In other words, you're a vendor supplying... You know, with your own employees now, services to the state of New California. What happens if the state of California? What happens if the state of California does not pay you? See, I faced that dilemma in the charter school. I saw they never paid; they just don't pay you. Shine it, brother. You know, instead of the 3 month window, well, our window turned out to be a 9 month window of never paying. From the state, which you know, he can't function in a school like that. But we had another backup, and thank God we were able to manage through the end of the school year. But my point is this, is the state right now, if you're a vendor, they're holding you hostage. And because of your agreements, if you're not able to pay your employees, you're going to lose your business. That's a fact. Now, this is what was explained to me in detail yesterday, but it was also something I experienced 10 years ago. They're here to take your businesses. That's what the state's trying to do. This is called communism. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN.
American Exceptionalism News Network.